every single one of them that was used by God had to overcome some pretty good reasons why they shouldn't be used by God. In order for God to bring the miracle to them and even to us today, it took a lot of people being used outside of their comfort zone. It took them saying, Lord, despite what I understand or I don't understand, what seems possible or what is definitely impossible, I'm still going to let you use me. And I've been praying this season. I believe one of the ways that Christ wants to come to earth fresh and new in our lives and through our lives is when you and I, as the people of God, will simply say, Lord, let earth receive her king. And Lord, despite what I know about myself, use me anyway. Amen? Amen. Sometimes we're the biggest roadblock to what God wants to do through us because we know ourselves so well. But I want you to know this morning that in the best of days and on your worst days as well, that God can use you if you will take your fear. That was one of the biggest things that Joseph had to overcome. We're going to read in just a minute. He had to overcome this fear that if I go along with the plan of God, this could be really dangerous for Mary. This could be really dangerous for me. Besides that, it's going to be turmoil to all the plans I've laid and everything I had in mind. But Joseph discovered that he could receive the king if he would learn to reject his fear. That's what I talk about this morning. Matthew chapter 1, verse number 18 says this. This is how the birth of Jesus the Messiah came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph. But before they came together, she was found to be pregnant through the Holy Spirit. And because Joseph, her husband, was faithful to the law and did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. But after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife. Let me take a time out for just a minute. What did Joseph had to get over in order for God to use him? He had to get over his fear. That's when the angel said, don't be afraid to go along with the plan of God. Don't be afraid to pick up this word that you've heard from your soon-to-be wife. Don't be afraid to believe what she says over what you've heard other places or what your mind says. Don't be afraid to listen to what I am saying over what your heart may say. Because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son and you will give him the name Jesus because he will save his people from their sins. And all this took place to fulfill what the Lord has said through the prophet. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. And when Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him and took Mary home as his wife. But he did not consummate their marriage until she gave birth to a son, and he gave him the name Jesus. Let's pray. Father, we love you. I pray the next few minutes of time that as we listen to your word, that the word of God will work in each one of us. Father, I know that you have a plan for each of our lives. Lord, you have next steps you want us to take to become less like ourselves and more like you. Lord, you have things that we need to do personally in our own lives and things you want us to do publicly in front of others and in our workplace and our jobs that will truly let earth receive you as king because they'll see the king in us and through us. But we also know that every opportunity there is for us to obey you, there's always this element of fear that tries to stop our faith. And I pray that today that fear will be defeated in our lives, just as it was defeated in Joseph's life, so we could become more like you. So God, anoint me above my own ability to speak the words of God, the words of God alone. Anoint our ears and our hearts to hear what the Holy Spirit wants to say to us. And all God's people said. So Mary is pregnant. She comes to Joseph and she says, it's not what it looks like. I know I'm pregnant, but it's not that I've cheated on you. It's the Lord. It's the Holy Spirit. How many of you, let me just talk to the guys in the room today. Guys, how many of you would need further explanation? All right? It's the Lord. I mean, I've heard people say the devil made me do it. But she says, the Lord. It's his fault, right? And so, and Joseph is terrified. The Bible says he's got this thing going on in his heart. I don't know if you caught it in scripture. It says he wants to be faithful, but he's fearful. Did you catch that? He's wanting to be faithful to the law, but he's fearful of what are people going to say. He wants to be faithful to God, but he's fearful about what's this going to cost me. It's amazing how many times that we as faithful people will have to overcome opportunities of fear in our own life. Let me tell you something, that if you're in the room today, you're just here to say, hey, I'm just here checking this out. I heard y'all had good coffee. I heard there was comfortable seats. I know someone there. And so I just breezed in on this Sunday morning. I'm not really sure about Jesus thing at all. And let me talk to those of you that have been serving God for 50 plus years in the room. There's one thing that these two people have in common, the new believer or the unbeliever. Here's what we all have in common. At some point, in order for us to embrace faith today, it's going to be a struggle between what God is saying to us today and the fear we have today. Amen. Faith and fear are always at odds in our lives. And if the day that we choose fear over faith is the day that we get stuck spiritually. Amen. The day you stop growing as a believer is the day you choose fear over faith. Joseph is in a moment to, if he's not careful, he can sabotage everything that God has for his life because he chooses to listen to his fear rather than walking by faith. I'll never forget when Megan and I were in college, we met each other and started dating through the ministry of Chi Alpha on a secular university. That's kind of how we got our start, which is, if you're not familiar with AG Missions, that's our campus ministry nationwide is called Chi Alpha. And so we were, hey man, I got one Chi Alpha fan somewhere. All right, that's what I'm talking about, all right? And so we were dating, and we decided we would decorate the Chi Alpha house for Christmas. So we backed my truck up to the corner of the house, and we climbed up on the house and put the huge X and the huge A and Christmas lights on top of the house. And we had a great time doing that, and we got time to leave. And I jumped from the roof down into the bed of my truck, and I turned around, and I said, okay. And she didn't jump. And I said, okay. And she said, I'm not doing it. And we went back and forth for a long time. I don't know how long. And finally I said, listen, if you don't jump, you're going to spend the rest of your life on top of this house. And that's not an option. And she said, well, I'm not jumping. And she's here this morning. So you can know eventually she jumped. But what I'm saying is every time we let our fear override our faith, you get stuck somewhere. Some of you in this room today, you've walked in today and you've been spiritually stuck for a long time because you haven't trusted the Lord with a particular area of your life. And I would challenge you today to, listen, you're never going to get to the place where you don't have both fear and faith speaking to you. But you do get to choose which one's going to rule your life. You do get to choose, like Joseph, to walk by faith and not by sight, to listen to what the Word says above what other people say. And so how can I keep fear from keeping me from doing what God wants me to do? That's the question I want to try to answer this morning. And the first thing I want you to learn this morning is to learn to trust God beyond your own calculations. Joseph said, in verse number 20, the Bible says this is about Joseph. He heard the news from Mary. And then he said this, after he considered this, an angel of the Lord. After Joseph basically devised a plan how he could help God out. Right? That's what most of us do. When God tells us, I'm going to use your life, I'm going to do something with you, we usually try to find a way to help God out, some way to get faith out of the picture and just explain away what's going on. The Bible says, after Joseph had considered this, he reasoned, he formulated this plan. Well, I'll just put Mary to the side. I'll divorce her quietly. That way she won't be in trouble and I won't be in trouble. No one will bring accusations against her. He was doing everything he could to minimize risk and yet still look good in the eyes of people. That's called fear, right? He was trying to avoid the faith factor and try to alleviate the fear in his life. Let me just take a survey. How many of you have ever missed, you know you missed it? And I'll raise my hand first. How many of you have ever missed something you knew God was instructing you to do simply because of fear? You're afraid to give what God told you to give. You're afraid to speak to the person God told you to speak to. You're afraid to serve in the area that God told you to serve. You're afraid what it would cost you. You're afraid of what people would think. You're afraid of all these. It's amazing how we can become just paralyzed with fear. But anytime we choose to listen to our fears over our faith, that's exactly what you're doing. You are signing up to be paralyzed for the rest of your life until you choose to walk by faith. So how can I overcome this fear? Well, let me give you a few ways. Number one, you got to realize that trusting God is the safest thing. Say that phrase with me, the safest thing. The safest thing you can do is trust God. Now, I know many of you have opposition to that statement, so I want to give it to you again. When I think I'm making you mad, I like to really make you mad, so I'll say it again. The safest thing you can do is trust God. Proverbs says it like this. It says that fearing people is a dangerous trap, but trusting the Lord means safety. Now, that's not at all how it feels. Trusting God always feels risky. But the Lord tells us that trusting God is actually the safest way we can live our life. And we look at Scripture and we think, well, listen, when you look at Daniel, I mean, he trusted God. And he has to spend the night in a pit full of lions. That doesn't look safe, does it? Right? Peter has to step out of a boat onto water, and he doesn't know where the rocks are. So that doesn't seem safe at all. All this seems very dangerous. But I want to tell you, there is something more risky than trusting God. It's not trusting God. Amen? We have all this fear. Well, Lord, if I trust you, I don't know how this is going to work out. Well, that is true. You don't know how it's going to work out. But let me tell you a guarantee in life. If you don't trust God, there's a guarantee that the end of your thought process is not going to be good. Amen? Amen? The Bible says that the thoughts of a man, they seem right to us, but the end of it is destruction. The truth of any matter is this: trusting God is the safest thing you can do. Amen. And some of you are trusting God right now about some areas of your life. You're saying, Pastor, this doesn't really feel safe. And let me just say these words to you. Welcome to the club. Amen. Trusting God often does not seem safe, but it is the safest thing you can do, because you have to understand, is trusting God, it makes sense in light of eternity. It makes sense when you zoom out and you look at your life as a whole, it always makes sense, but it doesn't always make sense in the here and now. So you got to trust God beyond your circumstances. You know, one of my favorite things to do this time of year is I love this time of year to get in the truck and drive 20 hours and go snow skiing. Do I have any snow skiing enthusiasts in the room? That's one of my favorite things. I mean, I love it. See a few hands right there. That's what I love to do. And I haven't been in 5 or 6 years now, but they don't know that, because they keep blowing my email up every single day, showing me pictures of ski slopes and telling me what deals I can get. And, you know, they're convinced I'm coming tomorrow. And so they keep blowing my email up with all this stuff. But I've noticed, they show me all these great pictures of the slopes and the snow and the hot chocolate on the mountaintop. They show me all these pictures, but they have not one time shown me a picture of West Texas or Kansas. And if you're going to go to Colorado, you either got to go through Kansas or you got to go through West Texas. And both of those places are like, it's a synonym for the bad place you don't want to go, to me. I mean, it's just, there's nothing pretty about it. The only great thing about Kansas is when you get to leave on the other side. They don't ever show me that picture, right? But God does the same thing to Joseph. He says, Mary will bear a son, and his name will be Jesus, and he will save his people from his sins. How does God get Joseph to embrace faith and dash his fears? The way he does it is he shows him the future. He doesn't necessarily show him what's going to happen right now. He doesn't show him about you're going to leave everything you know and go to Egypt and live outside of your comfort zone for the next few years. He doesn't show him that. He just tells him about the future. Sometimes if we're going to embrace faith, we have to focus our eyes on the future of what God has promised us and not just what's right in front of us. Amen. And some of you have been stuck, like me getting on the rooftop of the house. You're stuck. because you're just looking at the 2.5 foot of a jump it is. Who's got lunch ready? Because I need to come over after service today. You're so overwhelmed by that. You don't hear the voice saying, I'll catch you or I'll help you. You don't hear the voice of God. You're just looking at rights in front of you. And if the only way you're ever going to take the step of faith that's needed in your life is when you look to what God has promised you and not just what you're seeing right now. Because trusting God, listen, it doesn't always make sense in the short term. But it's always rewarding in the long term. I was listening to a podcast today. You know what? You know, I'm just guessing that if you were to go to the local gym today or tomorrow at 7 a.m., how do you know that gym is not as packed tomorrow as it will be 2 weeks from tomorrow? Right? Because we're all going to lose weight after the first of the year. Right? We're all going to get in shape in 2 weeks. That's my commitment. In 2 weeks, I'm going to start. The best time to start a weight loss project is tomorrow. So I'm thinking, you know, 2 weeks from tomorrow, I might start. So everybody's getting ready. So I was listening to a podcast of some fitness guru this past week or two. And they were talking about how to motivate yourself to get in shape and lose weight. And he said, the best way to do it is when you get on the treadmill, take with you a Hershey candy bar to the treadmill. And get on the treadmill and run your 30 minutes or whatever. And as soon as you're done running for 30 minutes, treat yourself to that candy bar. He says, because most people respond better to immediate gratification and immediate results. And so I've been practicing. I've been buying candy bars. And let me just tell you, when you take steps of faith, the reward is not always immediate, but it is always secure. And the way you choose to be a person that walks by faith and not by fear is when you say, Lord, I understand I'm going to take this step of faith, and I may not see a reward for it, but I'm going to take another one, and I may not see a reward for it. But Lord, even though these rewards you say are coming my way aren't immediate, I know they're secure. I know that if God has said it, then I can count on it. If the Lord has promised it, then he will provide it. And the way that Joseph went from being this person who had already contemplated and figured out exactly how he could bail God out of this issue in his life is the same guy that chose to follow the Lord. So even when your help may not seem immediate, remember it is secure. Number two this morning, remember that God's presence. I would challenge you, beat fear. Don't be afraid, but instead, recognize the presence of Jesus. Verse number 23 says this, the virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means what? God with us. I shared with you a few minutes ago, the most promised thing in the word, God's word is this, he will be with us. He will be with you. No matter what you're going through, he will be with you there. And if you're going to beat fear, then you've got to remember, no matter the circumstance of your life, that God is with you. If you want to write something down or tweet something this morning, you can write this down. Presence always, always dictates practice. In other words, we always practice the behavior that is dictated by the presence of those that are with us. My favorite teacher in all of my scholastic career was probably my sixth grade math teacher. Mr. Hill was his name. And he was very, very strict and very, very hilarious all at the same time. And I think I got more paddles by that guy than anyone else, but he also just, I loved him. But he had this thing, you know, every once in a while, kids' dreams come true. Your teacher gets called to the principal's office, right? You live as a kid. Some of you have been out of school so long you don't remember that. But you live as a student. You just live for your teacher to get called out. And then you get 3 minutes or 5 minutes of just free-for-all, whatever. And it seemed like that Mr. Hill would get called out about every 4 or 5 weeks. And his class was on the end of our building. And after about halfway through the semester, we finally figured out what it was. Because he would disappear to the office. Then he'd come back in and he would say, Sanders, Bismarck, Davis, all three of you, 5,000 sentences. I will stay in my seat when Mr. Hill's out of the building. And we were just, our chins would drop. Like, how did he know? But what we figured out was before he'd come back to the room, he'd come back to the room outside the building, and he would look in the window before he came in the door to see who was doing what. Because he knew when his presence wasn't there, we weren't going to behave the way we were supposed to behave. Some of us in this room, we don't behave the way we're supposed to behave. And this goes beyond sinful behavior and things like that, though that is applicable. Sometimes we just don't express the faith we should express because we forget that God is with us and that God is watching us. And even when he seems absent, he is still very much present. So don't live your life thinking God is absent as if he's not there. Remember that we need to respond. We need to develop a greater fear of God than we do fear of people. Now, I'm not talking about having this fear that you think God is going to get this huge hammer and just kill you every time you cross the street without using a crosswalk. That's not the fear I'm talking about. But we do need a fear that says, Lord, I want to please you more than anyone else. Lord, I want, Megan and I have discussed before that when we were growing up, getting a spanking by our parents, that wasn't the hard part. The hard part was just knowing that you disappointed them. Sometimes we just need a holy fear of God, saying, Lord, I don't want to fail you. I don't want to disappoint you. And Lord, it's not that I'm afraid you're going to zap me, but as much as, Lord, I just value your presence so much in my life. I want to honor that. We need a greater fear of what's going on. See, fear is always a hurdle. Say this with me, always. A hurdle for people receiving Christ as King. We've been preaching this series, Let Earth Receive Her King. John chapter 12. Verse number 42 says this, Nevertheless, many, even the rulers, believed in him. But because of the Pharisees, they were not confessing him. For fear, they would be put out of the synagogues. For they loved the approval of men rather than approval of God. Part of beating fear is decided whose approval do we really want. And we got to be willing to allow his presence to silence people's criticisms, no matter what people say. Father, as long as I'm pleasing you, then I'm all right. And third this morning, rather than being fearful, we have to learn to obey. Verse number 24 says, When Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord commanded him to do. Do you know how you give the final blow to fear in your life? You just do what God's called you to do. I made fun of Megan a few minutes ago because she wouldn't jump off the roof. Several years later, I took a group of boys from our youth group canoeing. And there was this huge tree that hung out over the river. And they asked me, hey, can we go swing off that tree and drop into the river and kill ourselves? And I said, sure, yeah, have fun with that. It's not exactly how they phrased the question. That's just what I heard when they asked. But then they turned around and they said, hey, Pastor Greg, why don't you do it too? And my first thought was this. I don't want to pull a Megan. I don't want to climb to the top of the tree. And in front of everybody. I'm just telling you how my brain works. In front of everybody. So I made up my mind. Before I even got out of the canoe and started to climb the tree. Okay, I'm not going to think about it. I'm not going to examine it. I'm not consider it. I'm just going to grab the rope. They live through it. Maybe God will be that good to me. And I'm just going to go for it. And so that's what I did. Seeing someone else, it kind of helped me make my decision. You're not going to beat fear in life by considering, by measuring, by contemplating. You can't beat fear with a calculator. You can't beat fear with a dictionary or your best thoughts. The only way you can beat fear in your life is when you decide, what has God said to me? And you decide to obey it. But the moment you decide to obey, that's what Joseph did. Joseph decided, I'm going to hear what the word of God says, and I'm going to obey it. So he got up from his dream, and the Bible says he did what the Lord commanded. Sometimes we just got to do what the Lord commands us to do. I was sharing with Josh Mina, if you want to come, if you still will. She is going to preach one of these days, and I'm going to just stay at home because I know I'll be toast. I was sharing with somebody this past week a story. Two years ago, we were getting ready to start a second campus there at our last church, city next to us. Didn't have an AG church in the whole county, and we had a partnership with a guy who's wanting to start a church, and so we were able to go into that city and start a new AG church, and God did wonderful things. You look at it now, and it went from basically 20 people to almost 200 people. They right now have a campus that's worth $2.5 million, and they only owe like $250,000 on it. Just God's done a miracle. But I can tell you, 2 years ago, that was not the story. 2 years ago, we were just scared out of our gourd, and we were getting ready to purchase this huge campus that was got an incredible deal on it. But how many know that when something's bigger than you, it doesn't matter how good of a deal, it's bigger than you, right? That's where we were. And so I was with my leaders, and we were praying about doing that and speaking to our campus pastor there. We were all just praying, do we do this, do we not do this? And one of our leaders spoke up, and he said, I've been praying, and here's what the Lord told me. The Lord told me to count the cost before we do this. And I looked at him, I said, what does that mean? He said, I don't know. I said, well, that didn't help me. So we prayed, and every time we met, like 3 or 4 weeks in a row, and every time we met, this guy who I've known all my life, he just kept on interrupting me and saying, the Lord keeps telling me to count the cost. And I just kept on asking, what does that mean? What does that mean? What does that mean? And he never gave me an answer until the last time he told me that statement. The Lord spoke to my heart. This is what it means. What it means is this. You got to count the cost today, whether you're going to trust me or follow me. Because once you step out in faith, it's too late to consider, am I going to trust God now? You got to know that you know that God's spoken to me. This is what I've heard him say. And so I'm going to step out, and it doesn't matter whether this goes north or south. I've heard the word of God, and I'm going to trust him. Amen? Some of you in this room today, you need to know this, that when God speaks to your heart, you cannot listen. I'm going to help somebody this morning. I'm going to help several people. I'm going to help us all as a church. You cannot dictate or decide that what's going on in my life is evidence whether I heard from God or not. Okay? Joseph, how many believe that Joseph heard from God? I do. It was in the Bible. An angel appeared to him. He did what he was supposed to do. And instead of life getting easy and better, life got harder and more uncomfortable. He went from, God didn't let him go back home, to live where he knew people and he had resources. God took him way outside of his own resources. But he knew, Joseph knew, I heard the Lord and I'm walking after him. He obeyed. Fear doesn't go away until you say, well, I'm going to trust you. Period. And I'm trusting you with this step, and I don't see the reward, but I'm going to take the next step. Because though my reward may not be immediate, when you're following after the Lord, it is always secure. And the way we receive our King is we say, Lord, I'm going to follow you no matter what I see, no matter how it feels, no matter if I can cross the T and dot the I and carry over the two and make it all add up. God, I'm gonna listen to your word. I'm gonna follow you. And that gets scary. And when it gets scary, you still gotta exercise faith over your fear. And when you do, you're gonna receive the King like never before. I want to ask you to bow your heads with me all across this room this morning. I'm going to pray two ways today before we leave. Prayer number one is this. Some of you in this room, I spoke at the beginning of this message. Some of you know that you are spiritually stuck. You have not been receiving everything that God has for you because you have held out in a certain area of your life. You've trusted God with most of your life, but you haven't trusted Him with all of your life. Some of you, you've trusted God up to a point. You've been trusting God up to now, but now this next step of faith requires more faith than the last step of faith. That's the way it usually works. And you're stuck because you're just thinking, Lord, what if it doesn't feel like the safest thing I can do? Lord, what if I know you worked a miracle last time, but Lord, what if it doesn't happen this time? We get stuck because of our fear. And some of this room, you love God and you've been serving Him, and He's been speaking to you about obeying Him. Maybe it's a family decision. Maybe it's something at your job. Maybe it's something you step up and serve in the church and whatever. And you've just got these reasons why you shouldn't do it. And reason, really, your reason is fear-based and not faith-based. Don't live the rest of your life paralyzed, stuck, because you're not willing to take a step of faith. That fear will not be defeated until you take that step and obey God. God doesn't diminish our fear, then we take the step. No, we take the step, and that step of faith diminishes that fear. Somebody said, Pastor, I've been spiritually stuck because I've been hearing the voice of God to take steps in my own life, but I've had a lot of reasons why not to do it. But today I'm just surrendering that to the Lord. I'm just going to trust Him one step. And I'm not going to take a step and try it for a week. I'm going to take a step because I've heard Him say to take a step. And I'm going to trust Him to keep His word, whether it takes a day, a week, a month, or a year. I'm going to follow Him because I've heard His voice. And I'm not going to live my life on pause any longer. But I'm going to live my life by faith. And I know I've been postponing what God's speaking to me. Would you just lift a hand real quick? Bless me, Pastor. Pray for me. Amen. 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 So we're around this building today. We're going to pray in just a minute that God would give you the boldness to take that step and defeat that fear. Secondly, this morning, I just want to, before we close this service in prayer, I want to make sure there may be someone in this room that you've not started following Jesus with your life. You've never committed your life to Christ. He's not the leader of your life. Perhaps you've heard the name of Jesus 100 times or never before, but in the middle of this message, through what was said, or perhaps despite what was said, you just sensed the Spirit of God wrestling with you this morning, and you just know this. You know that things are not right with you and God, but today you know that this is the day for you to get them right. I want to know to pray for you. We're not going to embarrass you, not going to single you out, but we will pray that you believe that this is the day that God changes your life. If that's you today, would you lift your hand real quick and say, pray for me, Pastor. Today I'm not where I need to be with God, but today I'm going to make that right. Real quick, I want to just know to pray for you. Amen. Amen. Would you stand with me all across this room today? First thing I want us to do is I want us to pray with those people who lifted their hands saying, I need to start a relationship with God. I'm not where I need to be with Him. I want us to say that together publicly. And so for those of you who lifted your hand, we're going to say this whole prayer with you together. And I've said it 100 times, repeating a prayer doesn't change anything, but saying a prayer from your heart can change everything. And so if you're lifting your hand, this can be a day that changes everything for you. So church, let's pray this prayer together. Dear Jesus, thank you for loving me. Thank you for Christmas, which celebrates you coming to earth for me, living a sinless life, dying a sacrificial death, raising the third day just for me, so I can have right relationship with God, so I can be free from my sins, so my past can be erased and my future can be rewritten with the love of Jesus. So God, eradicate my sin. Free me from my past. From this day forward, I'm going to live for you. In Jesus' name, amen. Man, would you give the Lord a hand clap today for those who are coming to the Lord for the first time? Man. Hey, if you lifted your hand, as soon as you walk out these doors, there's a guest services center. There is a book that I would like to put in your hands before you leave today. Just stop by, ask for it. It's what I'll do now that I'm serving Christ here, first 30 days. But two things I'll tell you right up front you need to do is you need to plant yourself in a house of God. We would love for that to be right here at the assembly. Number two, you need to follow the Lord in water baptismal. That book will guard you and guide you in both those things and tells you what to do now for the next 30 days. But church, all of us, no one more than me, all of us will always have the opportunity, the temptation, to get stuck at a certain level in our faith, in our journey with the Lord. And the way we defeat that temptation of getting stuck by fear is we always choose to respond by faith. Joseph heard the word of the Lord, and he obeyed. I was thinking this morning, you know, how many nativity scenes do we see around town that has a picture of Joseph and Mary and the baby Jesus? Joseph almost wrote himself out of the story of Christ because of his fear. But he heard the word of God and he believed it and he obeyed. And today we have his example. Let's receive our King fresh and new. Let's be people that personify faith in Jesus to our community by receiving our King fresh and new. And so I want to ask you right now, would you just receive this prayer? Let me pray for you today. God, I just pray over every person within the sound of my voice today, standing in the room, perhaps those listening on the podcast later a different day. God, I'm thankful that you have plans for us, Lord, plans that are good and not for evil. God, I'm thankful that you have plans for our lives that are just beyond anything we could ever imagine. Lord, you have good things you want our lives to do and good purposes for our life, but we also know that where those good plans are, there's also an evil plan. Lord, there is the attack of the enemy and the voice of the enemy that tries to cause fear instead of faith, that tries to paralyze us in yesterday's victories and or perhaps even in yesterday's disappointments and defeats. But Lord, we say no to that voice and we say yes to the voice of God. So I pray that every time there's a voice of fear that tries to get us to relive the past or stay put where we used to be or where we are today, God, I pray faith would rise up in these people today and they would boldly obey God. They would boldly believe God. They would boldly take hold of what you have for them because they're going to obey the word of God. And Lord, even when our reward doesn't feel immediate, we know that it's always, always secure. So God, I pray this will be a people of confidence. They'll be a people that walk by faith and not by sight, knowing that you're going to keep your word to them. Lord, do that in each of our lives. And God, I pray over this congregation today. God, I pray you will bless them. You would keep them. You would let your face shine upon them. You would give them peace. You would give them joy, both now and forever. For it's in your holy name we pray. Amen. Amen. Would you give the Lord a hand clap for his word today? Amen.